Essay 2. There is a bar grill about 4 miles from where we live that Carol and I really enjoyed going to. We'd head there maybe once a month, sometimes on Sundays for their unique cod fillet over eggs breakfast, or a weeknight for a great steak, which they were willing to prepare to our incineration-level tastes without the exaggerated eye-rolling that is generally de rigueur at steakhouses. It is a large floor plan, divided up into two parts. On one side is a long, old-style, wooden, mirror-backed bar, right across from which is a row of about 8 very comfortable, puffy, red vinyl-clad bench seat booths. On the other side is an open, spacious dining room, maybe 20 tables, lots of action in and out. There are tons of TVs scattered on the walls in a sports bar format, maybe 4 over the bar, and on the table side, a number that has gradually increased over the years from a handful to a passel. The only thing separating the two areas was a wood and glass half wall attached to the booths, maybe 3 feet high, just enough to block the visual stimuli from the TVs and some of the hurly-burly din from the table traffic on the other side of the room. We always sat in one of the middle booths, the ones best insulated from the peripheral intrusion of the bar-side TVs. It was intimate, casual, fun. About 2 years before Carol passed away, for reasons unbeknownst to us, they removed the glass half-wall, such that not only was the restaurant area with all of its TVs suddenly in our perceptual field, but so was the first line of tables on the side right next to us, maybe 2 feet away, way too close, the people eating at them seeming viscerally with us at ours. The effect of this small change was dramatic. Instead of feeling semi-private, alone together in public, we felt on display and overloaded with impertinent stimuli. We stopped talking about the things we enjoyed talking about, stopped laughing relaxedly, stopped enjoying the food, and soon after that, stopped going there. I was thinking about this on my walk today as a sort of complex analogy to help me explain to myself one of the most difficult and haunting effects of Carol's death on my everyday life in the workplace. I am not an innately social person, but I try in my public roles to be as positive and generous as I can be without losing depth of character. I believe that I was generally well-liked. People would seek me out for advice from time to time, implying to me that I had some sort of knowledge that would be helpful to them, urge me to assume leadership roles, or just chat with me casually. I tried, to the best of my ability, to be a good colleague. Because of that, I truly believed that when I returned to work the week after Carol's death, there would at least be a welling up, maybe even a groundswell, of emotional support. I didn't expect Christmas Eve in George Bailey's living room, he having devoted himself to the general welfare of his community, sacrificing opportunities from time to time, brought now through no fault of his own to a great despair, a debit to his name that he cannot possibly pay, standing dumbstruck as all the town folk troop into his living room with their dollars and cents, yes, but more poignantly with their affection and good cheer, redeeming him in every possible sense of that word from his great loss. Academics don't do things that way. But I didn't expect to have to pay the debt back all by myself, especially during those first 2 months while I waited, alone, terrified by the extremity of my grief and by the ongoing official inquiries. Those grim winter nights passed by grudgingly, like great silent glaciers nudging their way toward a cold sea. A night like that lasts long and pays well. Every morning, I would turn over what I had earned to Potter, waiting there in his wheelchair, silent, grumpy, glassy-eyed, slightly smiling. One of these days, when I wake up, he won't be there. That's where the glass wall comes in. It is, I know, a silly way to explain such a puzzle. But it helped me today when I thought, yes, that's it. Carol's death was like taking down the glass wall in the conversational spaces I shared in the workplace, the one that kept all the dark, overly real material just enough out of sight and sound to make it tolerable to others. A background buzz, while they spent their time with me. So, I thought, those who had enjoyed a brief occasional visit in my quiet, charming booth were suddenly overwhelmed by all that flash and din. It stopped them cold at the door and turned them toward another meal at another place. Part of what I think I've been doing in the meantime is trying to rebuild that glass wall, making myself appear, once again, comfortably normal to passers-by, so that they might be inclined to stop by my booth, the din and drama of the main room, enough out of range to be tolerable. I'm pretty good with tools, so I know that one of these days I'll get that job done. Today, I'm just going to enjoy my good memories of the time I spent with Carol in that bar grill on our side of the glass wall, happy together.